go about Fillmore Street. This is BeelPod.com, the weekend Georgia in English, coming to you from sunny San Francisco, the outside corner of the Golden State. Today is Thursday, the 17th of December, 2015. On this date in 1538, Pope Paul III excommunicates Henry VIII of England. 1777, France formally recognizes the United States. 1843, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens is published. 1862, in a little-known event, Ulysses S. Grant expels the Jews from his department for alleged cotton speculation. This covered parts of Mississippi, Tennessee, and Kentucky. Lincoln overturns that pretty quick, and Grant says, yeah, well, what was I thinking? 1903, the Wright brothers fly the first airplane near Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. 1944, the United States approves an end to the internment of Japanese Americans and says they can all go home. 1991, Yeltsin supporters announce the Soviet Union will cease to exist by New Year's Eve. 2010, in Tunisia, Mohamed Bouazizi sets himself on fire. This act became the catalyst for the Arab Spring. And 1 year ago today, the United States and Cuba reestablished diplomatic relations after severing them 55 years ago. Birthdays are American Revolution hero Deborah Sampson, Ford Maddox Ford, Pope Francis, and Mila Jojovovich. Born in Balkh, in what is now Afghanistan, the Persian poet, jurist, theologian, and all-around cool and worthy person, Rumi, died on this date in 1273 in Konya, in what is now Turkey. And, on the other side of the spectrum of humanity, Supreme Leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-il, died 4 years ago today. The 17th of December is St. Barbara's Day in Georgia, the saint for children. She lived in Syria in the 3rd century and became a martyr due to being tortured by her father for converting to Christianity. Ouch. Georgians bake lobiani. It's also the day of destiny that will determine how good the next year will be. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast was written by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tepeelpod.com or send us an email at tepeelpod, T-P-E-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. As discussed last week, the prosecutor's office opened an investigation into alleged influence peddling after the former chairman of the Presidential Pardons Commission, Aliko Elisashvili, claimed that influential politicians from the Georgian Dream Coalition had tried to exert undue influence on him to ultimately get certain inmates released from prison. He has not publicly revealed names, but did go in for questioning the prosecutor's office and told them. Elisashvili is now an independent member of the Tbilisi City Council. Then on the 14th of December, Georgian newspaper Kvitis Politra and Kronika Plus published stories citing unnamed sources reporting that the influential Georgian Dream politicians were Vice Speaker of Parliament Manana Kobakhidze and, you guessed her, Chester, Eka Beselia, the chairperson of the Parliamentary Committee for Human Rights, and the Queen of Poti. They reported that the two were persistently asking for progress in pardoning one of five convicts who were serving lengthy prison terms for a 2010 case involving trafficking a large amount of cocaine. Kvitis Politra reports that the two lawmakers were paid $200,000 by a known gangster, Nugzar Bocharishvili, to lobbying to have a prisoner, his girlfriend, released. Beselia has been the defense lawyer for the prisoners 5 years earlier. Former Pardons Commission Chairman Elisashvili didn't confirm or deny that the allegations were about the cocaine case in particular. He was questioned a second time by the prosecutor's office. He said he showed messages on his cell phone as evidence that he had received hysterical text messages from the politicians in question. Both members of parliament, Beselia and Kobakhidze, were questioned by the prosecutor's office on the 14th of December, and both denied the allegations of exerting undue pressure on the Presidential Pardons Commission, Beselia saying it was a dirty campaign and political adventurism ahead of next year's parliamentary elections. Lawmaker Kobakhidze, however, then did confirm that she was interested in the cocaine case prisoners and did demand their release and that the case stay active, that she is confident the five prisoners were in prison based on serious procedural violations. The prosecutor's office said they questioned over 30 people that day and also asked for information from the president's president related to the pardons commission. Elisafili said that he had shown the president the alleged text messages from the politicians haranguing him. The prosecutor's office said there were no messages on the phone. The president's administration confirmed that the president saw the messages, but is not aware of their content. So there is some confusing and contradicting statements. The president's administration also offered Eliko Elisafili the service of a personal bodyguard. No elaboration why. Interesting that the prosecutors, which are still after the changes under the control of the government, interesting that they would put these pull in these two politicians. My guess is that they want to make room on the parliamentary list in 11 months for a better class of people, and have targeted two of the most corrupt but also most loyal of their leadership. Following up on previous stories, the European Commission was supposed to release reports on Georgia and Ukraine's implementation of the Visa Liberalization Action Plan, or VLAP, on the 15th of December. You may have noticed that they didn't, because that was 2 days ago. The day before they're expected to be released, the EU foreign policy chief Federica Mogherini announced without elaboration that work is still going on, and so the reports will be out later this month. Georgia's ambassador to the EU said the release of the reports was delayed because of Ukraine. Estonia's foreign minister also said the same. Earlier, the European Commission spokesperson had declined to confirm or deny that the release of the reports was postponed until after the EU summit, which is scheduled for the 17th and 18th of December. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko was in Brussels for talks on the 16th of December. The Georgian government had, on the 11th of December, allocated over 220,000 lari to fund events to mark the successful implementation of the Visa Liberalization Action Plan with the EU. The EU ambassador to Georgia, Janos Herman, was planning a news conference on the 15th of December to mark the report's release, but it was postponed in the evening. High-level Georgian officials assured Georgia that Georgia has taken all the necessary steps and still expects a positive report. Prime Minister Garabashvili said he spoke with EU officials, and it's just technical details about the report that are not related to Georgia. As a reminder, last week German newspaper Die Welt reported that the European Commission's report will be positive and visa-free rules will be granted to Georgia and Ukraine by mid-2016. They also reported that in Ukraine's case, the European Commission is expected to point out that the country has yet to make measures in the fight against corruption. As a note, if the European Commission proposes to grant a visa-free regime to Georgia, it is then up to the EU member states and the European Parliament to endorse the decision. Then, on the 17th of December, the Wall Street Journal reported that the Council of Europe will release its visa liberalization report for Georgia and Ukraine the next day on the 18th of December. They also cited unnamed EU officials, and it seems the reports were delayed to allow for negotiations between Ukraine President Poroshenko and EU officials. The EU delegation in Tbilisi then confirmed the progress report will be published on the 18th of December, which is tomorrow, Friday. On that note, in an annual press conference on the 17th of December, Russian President Vladimir Putin said that Moscow is ready to cancel the visa regime for Georgian citizens. He said that they see signals from the current leadership of Georgia, and those signals are received. Noting that two-thirds of Georgian wine exports go to the Russian market. The issue of visas for Georgians to go to Russia was discussed in the Abashidze Karasin talks, but it was an issue of easing visas, not lifting them entirely. Prime Minister Garabashvili responded to Putin's comments in a written statement saying that Russia's readiness to lift visa requirements for Georgian citizens is a step in the right direction. In the statement, he also noted the historic importance of European Commission's expected proposal to allow Georgia's citizens visa-free short stays in the Schengen area, and said that the Georgian authorities' reasonable foreign policy has yielded tangible results. First round of free trade talks between Georgia and China will be held in Tbilisi in January, according to the economy minister Dmitry Kumtsishvili, as we mentioned last week, and they hope to conclude negotiations by October 2016. As a reminder, Kumtsishvili was in Beijing last week, where he and China's international trade representative signed a memorandum of understanding on the launch of the free trade talks. He said the plan is to turn Georgia into a hub for trade. On the 13th of December, the first cargo train from the Chinese East Coast port of Langyugang arrived in Tbilisi en route to Istanbul and signals the official opening of the Silk Road Railway project. According to the Economy Ministry, the cargo train contains 21 containers with consumer electronics from South Korea. It started out from the Chinese seaport on the 29th of November and took 15 days to cross China, Kazakhstan, and Azerbaijan to reach Georgia. According to the state-owned Georgian Railways, one more container train is scheduled to deliver cargo via Georgia through the Trans-Caspian International Transport Route. The Georgian Railway also said, without specifying figures, that it expects several thousand containers to be shipped via this route in 2016. They expect the completion of the Baku-Tbilisi-Kars Railway in 2016 will increase the efficiency of the route. Cool. At a Ukrainian government meeting on the 14th of December, Misha got into an argument with Ukraine's Interior Minister Arsen Avakov, with Misha accusing Avakov and Prime Minister Yatsenyuk of being corrupt. In the meeting, Avakov then threw water at Misha. There's a video of it, and we have run it in our forum. He also told Misha to get out of the country, to which Misha responded, he is a Ukrainian citizen. There's a lot of yelling and lots of aggression. Misha did not behave particularly well in this, although that guy is, of course, a corrupt jerk. But Misha sort of lost it and was screaming at this guy pretty aggressively, and then the guy chucked some water at him, and then they just dismissed the meeting, and everybody got up and left. At a meeting of the Incident Prevention Response Mechanism in Ergneti, the head of the South Ossetian delegation, David Sanakoyev, claimed that Daesh fighters are currently mobilized in the Pankhisi Gorge, that they are preparing to create danger for the Russian military base and border guards located inside South Ossetia, that they are planning attacks for New Year's and will target not only Russian border guards, but also Georgian law enforcement and EU observers. He did not say where or how he has that information. As for travel and visitors, following up on last week's story, Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli was in Washington, D.C. She met with U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, Victoria Nuland. On the 11th of December, President Margvelashvili arrived in Ashgabat, Turkmenistan, for an official visit and for an international conference. On the sidelines of that, Margvelashvili met with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the presidents of Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Moldova, and Chinese vice president, Iran's first vice president. Defense Minister Khidasheli was then in Istanbul on the 17th of December, today, for a trilateral meeting of the defense ministries of Azerbaijan, Turkey, and Georgia. The World Series of Poker is having a first-ever circuit event in Tbilisi in March 2016. It's arranged and being run by Ajarabet. Reportedly, it's also their first-ever such event in Eastern Europe. It will be at Tbilisi Sports Palace. There's a total guaranteed prize pool of $700,000, which is the biggest ever offered in the region. Following up on previous week's stories, the two French contracts that Georgia signed in the summer on the acquisition of an air defense system are worth 78 million euros. One of the deals was signed by the Ministry of Defense in June with Thales Raytheon Systems, which is a producer of ground-based surveillance radars and air defense command and control systems. The other was signed in July with a missile manufacturing MBDA France. At the time, there were no details on the content or value of the contracts. Now, only the values are known because the finance ministry signed a loan to finance it with the French bank Société Générale. The five-year, 83 million euro loan is backed by France's export credit agency, COFAS. Parliament has to ratify the loan agreement, and the Parliamentary Committee on Defense will discuss it next week. Under a $50 million grant, the U.S. is offering Georgia two Huey 2 military helicopters, which are worth over $18 million each. They can also serve as rescue aircraft. The helicopters will be handed to Georgia in 2018, along with a supply of spare parts and training services. Korea is opening an embassy in Tbilisi on Tabidze Street in Vake. Previously, Georgia was covered by the Korean ambassador in Baku, so now there's a Korean ambassador to Georgia, Kim Chang-gyu. The embassy will be operational as of the spring of 2016. On that note, Foreign Minister Georgi Fedakashvili hosted the ambassador of Austria, who is also based in Baku, Azerbaijan. There is no official Austrian embassy in Tbilisi. Foreign Minister Fedakashvili announced that a new Austrian embassy to Georgia will open next year. On the 16th of December, the Monetary Policy Committee of the National Bank increased the refinancing rate by 50 basis points to 8%. They said a further increase is unlikely in the coming period. Tightening the monetary policy will have a positive effect for the decrease in inflationary expectations. They expect the inflation to decrease in the second half of 2016. Four former UNM era officials, former Deputy Defense Minister Data Akhalaya, former Deputy Head of the General Staff, the Georgian Armed Forces, Georgi Kalandadze, ex-Deputy Head of the Military Police, Megis Kardava, and a former employee of the Samagrelo Zemosvaneti Police Department, Georgi Samushia, are being charged by the Chief Prosecutor's Office for illegally detaining and torturing a man in July 2012, allegedly to extract a confession that he was planning a terrorist attack in Georgia. The men charged include the former deputy defense minister, former deputy head of the armed forces, and two policemen. If found, they could face 17 years in prison. One of the four accused is in police custody. The three others are at large. 24-year-old model Nuka Karalashvili is representing Georgia at the Miss World 2015 beauty contest as part of the top 30 models. The 65th edition of the Miss World pageant ends on the 19th of December in host country China. She's from Tbilisi and studied tourism at Tbilisi State University. European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, EBRD, and Tbilisi City Hall are investing 30 million euros for 150 new buses for Tbilisi 2016. They will operate on compressed natural gas instead of petrol, benzene, or diesel. Four bodies were found in Helvaçoğlu on the 12th of December, a few kilometers from the border with Turkey. The bodies were frozen, almost covered in snow. They were allegedly citizens of Bangladesh. According to local authorities, they were trying to illegally cross into Turkey. The next day, on the 13th of December, police arrested 10 persons for attempting to cross the border into Turkey illegally through the towns of Kartsakhi and Akhaltsikhe. The Bitcoin data mining center in Guldani was officially opened by Bitfury. They invested $30 million to create the data center. The free industrial zone in Tbilisi also officially opened. Somebody please take a look at the volume of electricity they are using and how they are paying for it. On the 17th of December, the Georgian captain of a ship sailing with a Moldovan flag was detained in France. 2.4 tons of cocaine were discovered on the ship. Tbilisi City Hall plans to build an overpass over Pushkin Street near Freedom Square to make it a two-way street. The company Caucasus Road Project won the tender to build it. Oh dear, overpasses are bad. Let's see what that looks like. Ministry of Economy is the most closed public institution in Georgia in terms of providing public information, according to a new report by IDFI. To compile the report, IDFI asked 307 public institutions to provide information. The Ministry of Economy failed to respond to all 44 requests sent by IDFI. The UK officially launched a financial aid program to Georgia and the EU Eastern Neighborhood countries, Good Governance Fund to support reforms. The British ambassador to Tbilisi says they've allocated £5 million to Georgia alone for the first year of the program. On increasing pensions, as we mentioned last week, for September 2016, pensions in the high mountainous areas will increase by 35% from 160 lari to 216 lari. Otherwise, pensions are increasing to 180 lari in other parts of the country. Tbilisi City Hall budget for 2016 has some new projects for the healthcare program. They're creating a breast cancer treatment program, a children's physical development program, including orthopedic pathology screening and rehabilitation therapy, a multidisciplinary support team for people with mental and behavioral disorders as well. Tbilisi City Hall employee was arrested on charges of bribery by the Investigation Department of the Ministry of Finance. It's in connection with a false contract for a tender to renovate a building. It involves stealing 2,500 lari. If convicted, person can face 9 years in prison. Ministry of Economy officially announced the new Gudauri project to develop the Gudauri ski resort. It's being carried out by Canadian mountain development firm EcoSign and Ernst & Young. They're spending $150 million on it. There'll be a new cableway, additional ski tracks, parking areas, hotels, food areas, and entertainment facilities. On that note, the Gudauri and Bakuriani ski resorts are officially open. And from the I Knew Them Before They Were Famous file, Nika Kocharov and the Young Georgian Lolitas will represent Georgia in the 2016 Eurovision Song Competition. It will be held in Sweden in mid-May. The Ministry of Culture will open a museum in Bolnisi modeled on the modern Sfaneti Museum of History and Ethnography in Mestia. The museum is set to open in 2017, the 200th anniversary of the German settlement of Bolnisi, which is really interesting. That should be a cool museum. Philosopher Givi Margvelashvili was awarded the Presidential Order of Excellence for his long and fruitful artistic and scientific work, for his efforts to promote Georgian culture abroad. He was born in Germany in 1927, but was deported by the KGB to his ancestral homeland, Georgia, in 1946, when he was 19 years old. Philosopher Margvelashvili writes only in German. He knew nothing about Georgia when he came. He lived both through Nazi Germany and the Soviet regime in Georgia. He said, "These two bads are quite similar, and this is enough. This is reason enough to think and write about it." He lives in Germany again now and is a German citizen. In parliamentary news, as we mentioned last week, on the 11th of December, Parliament approved with its third and final reading the legislative amendments increasing excise tax on tobacco and some alcoholic beverages starting from January 2016. Government expects an additional 90 million euro. In tax revenues as a result. Excise tax on a pack of filtered cigarettes, for example, will increase by 20 tetri to 1.1 lari. Excise on vodka will increase from 6 to 10 lari per liter, and similar increases for other hard alcohol. Also, on the 11th of December, Parliament approved with 83 votes to 11 the 2016 state budget. It sets revenues at 8.5 billion lari, up from 2015's roughly 8 billion and sets budgetary expenditures at 8.5 billion up from 2015's 8.1 billion. Economic growth is projected at 3%. 2016 budget is meant to reflect socially oriented policies, according to the finance minister. Allocates 3.16 billion lari for the Ministry of Health, up from 2.8 in 2015. To account for the universal health care program and for covering pension expenses, as we've discussed in previous weeks. UNM and other lawmakers have been calling to cut bureaucratic expenses and to cut taxes, saying the proposed budget isn't sufficient. And Parliament passed with a first reading, the Georgian Dream proposal to reform the electoral system by redistricting single-mandate majoritarian constituencies, which is aimed at narrowing the giant disparity in the number of voters between single-mandate constituencies. We discussed the proposal in detail in the previous weeks, but basically some majoritarian constituencies only have like 6,000 or 8,000 voters. Other has 120,000. I think Goldani and Zugdidi are the biggest. Currently, the boundaries of the single-mandate constituencies mostly coincide with those of the administrative borders of rayons or districts, which is a Soviet designation that, except for the majoritarian districts, doesn't really formally exist anymore. It will no longer be the case if the proposed bill goes into force. A more detailed discussion on how each electoral district is redrawn under the proposal is expected during the second reading of the bill, and this will be very important to watch. Opposition lawmakers argued that the Georgian Dream's artificial cutting and axing of district still fails to provide for equality of suffrage. Well, I mean, it might actually do that if they do it correctly. ISFED also criticized the bill, saying that the best option to address the electoral system is to scrap the majoritarian component and move to a fully proportional system. As a reminder, Georgia has a mixed electoral system in which 73 lawmakers in the 150-seat parliament are elected in 73 majoritarian single-mandate constituencies. The remaining 77 seats are allocated proportionally under a party list contest among political parties, which clear the 5% threshold. So depending on the percentage of vote you get of those who clear the threshold, there's a list of candidates and they just go down the list. Main argument is that the existing mixed electoral system is unfair because it can potentially produce a distribution of seats in parliament different from those reflected in the proportional party list election results. Election observer organizations such as OSCE-led International Election Monitoring System have repeatedly raised the issue of the disparity among the constituencies for years, although that is different from how the outcome can vary. I mean, the same thing is true in the UK, which is completely majoritarian, and certainly in the United States. The non-ruling parties and non-parliamentary parties have been pushing to scrap the majoritarian single mandate component entirely before the 2016 election. Georgian Dream proposal doesn't scrap it, but changes it a little bit just by changing the boundaries. But they have agreed to change it only after the 2016 election. And of course, as we have said before a gazillion times, the solution is multi-member constituencies, which everyone agrees on, but the national movement would never implement, and the Georgian Dream refuses to. So in that case, you would have Imereti, a traditional region, would have something like 8 representatives. Sfaneti would have 1, Guria would have 3, etc., in accordance with the population of these regions. The ruling party, as I said, will not allow that to happen before this election because they can control the outcome of the parliamentary races much better with the current single-member configuration, which is bad. And it would be good if they change it, but it's unlikely that they will allow that to happen, even though the Republicans want it, and the head of the Republican Party is the head of parliament. On the 16th of December, the Interior Ministry proposed a bill that would overhaul car excise tax in an attempt to curtail the import of cars that are older than 6 years. The proposal is part of a package which includes bills banning the import of right-hand drive vehicles starting from March 2016, as well as increasing fines for certain traffic violations and introducing a point system linked to traffic tickets. The proposal, if approved, will slash excise tax rates on it, the import of cars between 1 and 6 years old, and increase the tax rate on cars 7 years and older, starting from January 2016. A note that Georgia still uses leaded gasoline, and when used cars are imported, they cut the catalytic converters out. Rather than changing the excise so much, maybe they should use modern emission controls, that most cars sold in Georgia already have them when they arrive. But according to the Interior Ministry, data from 2014, 45% of all vehicles in Georgia were between 11 and 20 years old, 45% or more than 20 years old. As for more details on introducing a point system for traffic violations, the proposal is that a person with a driver's license gets 100 points. When you get a ticket, you lose a certain number of points. If you lose all 100 points in a year, then the driving license is revoked and you have to do a driving test again. The meme this week is the video of Ukrainian Interior Minister Arsen Avakov getting into the argument with Misha, as we mentioned above. So check it out. It was posted on Facebook, had over 1.2 million views in less than 24 hours. Stuff to read. The Open Society Foundation reports on one of its grantees, the Information Center of Kakheti, which has become the authoritative voice reporting on ISIS recruiting youth in Pankisi. Agenda.ge reports on restoration works, Florentine-style frescoes in the building on Agmashenabeli and Sololaki. They are lovely. There's some photos. In Bike Mag, a group of American and Canadian cyclists document their adventurous ride in the Caucasus Mountains from Tusheti to Kazbegi. More on the Tbilisi Zoo hippo Beggy. The BBC talks with some Reuters photographers whose photos are in the top 100 photos of the year 2015, including Beso Gulashvili, who took the famous picture of Beggy the hippo in front of the SWAT store after the flood. The Guardian covers the Misha Avakov spat and in context of larger fights in Ukrainian parliament. Vogue Australia sends a postcard from Tbilisi, and the Georgians are changing the fashion scene, they say. In Culinary Backstreets, Paul Rimple sums up the best bites in the city from 2015, which is an ode to the Sololaki neighborhood. Tbilisi City Hall's gallery on this year's Christmas and New Year's lights decorating the city. The central area of the city has new decorations. Tbilisi City Hall spent about $1 million on them. CRC looks at volunteerism in Georgia. The site Film New Europe has a review of developments in the Georgian film industry in 2015. Tbilisi-based NGO Chaihana has a new edition on migration in the South Caucasus. They're great for lesser-told stories and photojournalism. Their webpage recently won the Adami Media Prize. The Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project with Studio Monitori reports on how the government is forgiving major land and contract violation penalties for big business people in Georgia. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. Geocapital number. This week's geocapital number is 18.4%. That is how much of the budget expenditure for 2016 will be spent on pensions. That's 1.57 billion lari, up from 1.39 billion in 2015. Announcements. There's supposed to be a no-pants subway ride in Tbilisi on the 23rd of December, in which you wear no trousers, just your undershorts. For those in Tbilisi listening to the podcast, attendance is mandatory. Take pictures and send them to us. If you're in Poland, there's an ethnographic exhibit in Georgia until the 10th of January at the Warsaw State Ethnographic Museum. There's an exhibit at the Museum of Georgia in Tbilisi on the 19th century photographer Aleksandr Roenishvili and his Traveling Museum of the Caucasus. It's on until the end of January. I've heard it's great. Go check it out. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango X-Ray Tango Bravo Uniform Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post the form on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1978, like so many of their songs, this always reminds me of riding a horse flat out as fast as you can in the middle of nowhere, somewhere near Weatherford. From their great 1978 album, More Songs About Buildings and Food, this is The Talking Heads and Won't You Send Me an Angel?